Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Felt it when Fyodor Dostoevsky said, "I used to analyze myself down to the last thread, used to compare myself with others, recalled all the smallest glances, smiles, and words of those to whom I'd tried to be frank, interpreted everything in a bad light, laughed viciously at my attempts to be like the rest, and suddenly, in the midst of my laughing, I'd give way to sadness, fall into ludicrous despondency, and once again start the whole process all over again. In short, I went round and round like a squirrel on a wheel. Pain and suffering are always inevitable for a large intelligence and a deep heart. Your worst sin is that you have destroyed and betrayed yourself for nothing. If you want to be respected by others, the great thing is to respect yourself. Only by that, only by self-respect, will you compel others to respect you."
Good afternoon, good afternoon. You are listening to Beyond the Rock, and I'm your host, Dazzy. And listen, today is going to be a bit of a different show. All of our episodes past, we've done amazing interviews, and we do have a wonderful one lined up next week. I can give you a hint. It's going to be someone from the UK, a Bahamian that's abroad that's doing amazing things. And we're going to be back to our regularly scheduled interviews next week. Tonight, though, I want to talk about what's going on in the nation. I want us to do a check-in because what's been happening is, you know, I always reach out to Bahamians abroad. I talk to them, you know, come on, do a show, do an interview with us. And a lot of the replies that I've gotten this week have been very concerning. And one of the things is, you know, what's happening on the ground, right? A lot of times, if you're not here locally in the Bahamas, you're not in Nassau, you're not in Freeport, you're not in Abaco, wherever you are, it can look very different when you look online and see what the Bahamas looks like. So tonight, I want us to get a little bit into that. You know, we've had a rough January, and I really want to talk about, you know, what are some of the root causes that are kind of leading us into that direction? Because what I don't want this show to be, and what this is not designed to do, is to create a pathway of exodus for Bahamians that are frightened to be here, that are horrified to be here, because that's not really what this show is about. This is about celebrating Bahamian excellence abroad, right? And talking about the wonderful things that are happening that we need to know about, of Bahamians that are abroad, that come back home, that sometimes do both. But this is not supposed to be, and I'm only saying this based on a lot of the messages that I got this week. This is not supposed to be, you know, I'm desperate to get out of here. I'm afraid for my life. This is how, you know, this is what I want you to cover. It was never designed for that. So tonight I want us to talk about quite a bit of things. We need to do a check-in nation. We need to see what's happening. We need to see how we can fix it, and not just in a punitive way. I know we're big fans of that, but that's obviously not going to solve the problem. So if you want to chime in on the conversation tonight, I have a lot planned for us to talk about. 422-4796, 422-4796. Please go ahead and text me. I don't think I'll be taking calls tonight, but please go ahead and text 422-4796, 422-4796. If you are joining us by stream, please go ahead and share it. You can also tune in if you need to go ahead and send someone the link. They can tune in the regular way. If you're not, then the stream is alive and well. You just go to the Guardian Talk Radio website and you will see the little arrow that shows you where you can go ahead and listen or actually look in. So yeah, just go ahead and do that. So tonight, let's do a check-in. 25 murders in the country. I know you were probably sick and tired of hearing about this, but let's talk about it from a different perspective. The clip that I played earlier is by one of my favorite Russian authors. And one of his quotes is, "Your worst sin is that you betrayed and destroyed yourself for nothing." And that's something that I do not want to see happen to this country, because where we are is so advantageous to what it is that we need to do as a nation. We cannot fall down the same pathways that a lot of our Caribbean brothers and sisters have done. And this is not to insult them by any means, but, you know, we've always prided ourselves in being different, right? We've always prided ourselves on being a safe country. We've always prided ourselves on just having, you know, just a completely different, unique experience that persons can come here and they could feel safe and they could enjoy the island, right? And not to say that it's just the tourists that we want to focus on. We ourselves, as Bahamians, have prided ourselves in, you know, relatively ease of living. And if you are from Nassau and you're chiming in, I hear you. But guess what? We have so many other islands. The Bahamas is not just Nassau. And on many of the family islands, you can live comfortably. You know, you can leave your door unlocked. You don't have to be constantly in fear of getting robbed or, you know, anything like that. And so this narrative is very dangerous that's happening, right? So we need to do two things, Bahamas. We need to, number one, work on our narrative. And then we need to do, number two, actually fix the problem so that these two things happen simultaneously, because one will not work without the other. So I was just doing a bit of Googling and I hid my IP address to do this, which means Google did not know that I was in the Bahamas Googling what is happening here. And let me tell you some of the things that actually come up, right? And this was horrifying when I saw it. So there's this website that came up at the very top, and it's citing that its data is actually from the World Bank, right? And so it says the Bahamas crime rate and statistics, and it has from 1990 to 2024. And let me just read the summary, because they have a couple different topics here. They've got population, economy, trade, health, education, development, labor force, environment, crime, immigration, et cetera, et cetera. So if you ever want to get an idea on what people think about the Bahamas, what they truly think, go ahead, hide your IP address, use a VPN, and Google us and see what comes up. You will be very surprised. And that the results are very different, right? Depending on where you are. So the summary at the top says, intentional homicides are estimates of unlawful homicides purposely inflicted as a result of domestic disputes, interpersonal violence, violent conflicts over land resources, intergang violence over turf or control, and predatory violence and killing by armed groups. Intentional homicide does not include all intentional killing. The difference is usually in the organization of the killing. Individuals or small groups usually commit homicide, whereas killing in armed conflict is usually committed by fairly cohesive groups of up to several hundred members and thus is usually excluded. This is not my words. This is macrotrends.net. If you Google the Bahamas, this is coming up, okay? So it has some stats here, and these are very concerning. Bahamas crime rate and statistics for, and this, it starts at 2018, and they had us there at 22.64, which was a 25% decline from 2017. Now, if we bounce up to what we're looking at in 2024, and I don't fully believe this list, and I'll tell you why, and I don't mean to pick up, you know what, let me not say that. But there's a country here that I don't see represented, another Caribbean country, and I'm quite sure their homicide rate is more than ours. So I don't know if I trust this list, but they actually have us listed as number three. So it has similar country ranking, country name per 100K population. And it has St. Kitts and Nevis at 29.41, Trinidad and Tobago at 29.36, and then the Bahamas at 29.17. Bahamas, we cannot be on these lists. What is happening here? What is happening? I never thought I would see this date. And you know what's very, very troubling to me? And a lot of very bad statistics, the Bahamas comes up a lot. You know, rape, right? Per capita, we are up there. Obesity, we are up there. We need to harness these narratives. And, you know, we cannot blame any external source, right? Because obviously this website, I don't know who authors it, but it's citing its data, right? That cannot be disputed. And this amalgamation of what they're presenting on the first page of the website is there for everyone to see. So what do we do with that? What do we do with that, right? You go and you check out the front page of the paper. What do you see all over it? And so some people say, well, oh, you know, the American embassy was wrong in their warning, right? But, and then I've seen all of the videos, Bahamians, of us, you know, completely bashing the U.S. and, oh, they need a trade advisory. That is true. But that does not diminish the fact that we have a problem. So we can look at what's worse than us, you know, and I hate that we do that as a people. Oh, we're not so bad, you know, because this one is doing worse. Why are we looking at what's worse? Why? What is the purpose? We need to look at who's doing better than us and start to model after a lot of what their policies are. Some of you may say, well, it's a race thing, right? Yes and no. Yes and no. And the reason why I say that is because it does play a part in the environment and the way how we are socially, but a lot of that can be controlled with culture. And what culture are we accepting and what culture do we reject? Because Bahamas, it's time for us to kind of pick a lane here. What are we going to be? Who do we identify as? And what is going to be considered normal for this country? Who are we as people? What do we look like? And when I say what do we look like, I don't mean physically. What do we look like? What are our values, right? Do we value family? Do we value healthy living? Do we value fiscal responsibility? Do we value entrepreneurship, you know, recreation? What do we value? Education? What are our values, right? Do we value those things? And are they being reflected in our society? Because at some point, we have to stand up and look in the mirror and say, it is us, right? Because the names that we're seeing, they're not just dropping out of the sky. They are us. The police officers who do their job every single day under, you know, horrifying conditions sometimes, they are from us. The judicial system, the judges, the magistrates, again, they come from us. The government workers who make decisions, our permanent secretaries, right? Our administrative staff, they are all us. So how can we then jump on any platform and blame an external source? You are still blaming us. And we have to take accountability for that, right? And there's nothing that we can do to run from this. The chickens have now come home to roost, and this is now our problem. It cannot be hidden any longer because, you know, the internet very much exposes what is happening locally. You know, one time ago, we could suppress news, right? It stayed in our little social circle. But now, very different dispensation we're in. Right? A completely different world. You can't hide anything. People can Google us and they can pull up whatever it is they need to look at and they could see accurately what's happening. They can go on any social media and they could type in Bahamian and they could see what comes out of our mouth, what our values are, what we think about things, right? Our opinions. And so now we are outside of that protective bubble that we've had for many, many years. And it's only us who are feeling the results of this, right? So I see your text. I'm going to get to them in just a second. 422-4796, 422-4796. If you're texting my phone, I'm going to go ahead and read that as well. No problem, right? So here's the thing. I want to go ahead and pull this up very quickly as well, because I thought that this was a very interesting study that was done and it pertains to us. So this study I came across is called The Root Causes of Crime, right? And it's from preventingcrime.ca, which is obviously a Canadian website. You can go ahead and Google it or look at it. If you want the PDF, go ahead and message me on Facebook and I will go ahead and send it to you. And so we often have these shows and we talk about what the root is, right? And there's a particular interview that I would love to bring to you. But I don't think it's the right time because the story of this young lady leaving the Bahamas and being a Bahamian and doing wonderful things abroad is based on her trying to escape the country. And these are important conversations to have, don't get me wrong. But we need to harness our narrative and we need to do it now. And a lot of that comes with personal accountability, right? So we tend to think that everything is external. So let me read what this story, this study says, right? So it says, this is in the overview. And the minute I read this first paragraph, I was like, okay, this is going to be good. It's about 8 pages. I'm not going to read all of them, obviously, but I will go ahead and send it to you if you are interested in reading it. It's a very easy read. It's not strenuous at all. So it says in the overview, individuals need to be responsible for their own actions. Let me repeat that. Individuals need to be responsible for their own actions. Are we as a people responsible? Are we as a people making excuses, right? What are we doing? And we can't run from this because this is just a mirror of who we are. So when people's crime is out of control, it's just a macro reflection of who we are. That's all it is. This is us. Do we have conflict resolution skills? Yes or no? How do we handle differences in opinion? How do we handle conflict? Are we self-aware? Do we reflect? Do we have humility? All of these things play a part in who we become. So the first thing, the first sentence, right? Individuals need to be responsible for their own actions. An understanding of root causes cannot and should not be seen as a way to absolve us from personal accountability. However, while individuals have an obligation to act responsibly and with respect for their fellow citizens, communities have a responsibility to address these conditions, which hinder healthy development and can become the breeding ground for crime. Okay? And so they list a couple different factors and they talk about how they're complex and interrelated. But the three main categories that this study outlines is economic factors / poverty. And the reason, let me tell you why this one here really, really bothers me, because we are a Christian nation, right? And one of the narratives that, and before I go any further, I am a Christian. So I can speak on this now, right? When I was on the other side, I could not, right? But I can confidently speak on this now. There is no nobility in poverty. If you are going to a church and they are celebrating the fact that you need to have lack while you're on this earth in order to get into heaven, get up and leave. That is an error. The Bible talks about a good man leaving an inheritance for his children and his children's children. And so that whole verse about the rich man getting into heaven is not to do with the fact that he was just rich. It was to do with the associated attitudes that he had that came along with wealth. So we cannot allow ourselves to be manipulated any longer, Bahamas. We have to look at these things in the face. Economic factors and poverty. That is number one on the list of the three main categories. Nowhere have I ever seen in the world where poverty breeds utopia, breeds, you know, an environment that's conducive to peace and welfare, right? And beauty. I've never seen it. Stability. I've never seen it. So we have to not allow ourselves to be manipulated by narratives that sound good, that serve another purpose, and look at what that does to us. Economic factors / poverty is the first main category. And if you just tuned in, I'm your host, Dazzy. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. And this is a special edition show this week. No interview this week, because we have some things that we need to address before we can move forward. I also got some interesting commentary from our first couple shows that I may read, I may not. I don't know if we have time for it. But let's just get through this part, because this is very important before we move on and we even think about what's happening externally. We need to look at ourselves. So the second thing on the list, social environment. What is the social environment? And what does that mean? Right? And so what is the social environment? What is it that we look at that is considered the norm in the Bahamas? Is it alcoholism? Is that considered the norm? Is it? Obesity, is that considered the norm? What about marriage and relationships? Right? Chaos, is that considered to be the norm? It's not funny. There's nothing funny about it. And one of the worst types of humor is self-deprecating humor. And whenever we do that, I am appalled. Because your mind and your subconscious is always listening to you talk. And so if you degrade yourself constantly, that becomes a part of your mind, right? That becomes something that you refer on. And so we do not live in a day and time where the middle class is thriving anymore. It is being quickly erased. You're either going to be a have or a have not. And that is going to dictate a lot of the experiences that you're going to have moving forward. And you may say, oh, it's the government's fault. Okay. And so what if it is? How does that change what is happening to you? Because governments all around the world have problems. Just go look. There's no country on this earth where the government functions 100% correct. And I don't care where you look at. You can look at Japan. You can look at Singapore. You can look anywhere. Any one of the Switzerland, Sweden, anywhere that we like to look. If you go on YouTube, Sweden is having an intense gun problem, right? If you look at Singapore, you will see narratives from a lot of their citizens being very upset about certain mandatory things that the government makes them do. If we look at Japan, it's very scary to be a woman in Japan. They are relentlessly harassed and assaulted, right? So every culture has its problems. And so we cannot throw in the towel and say, well, everywhere has its problems, so we might as well not try. No. We need to look at what the best is. We are a small place. I mean, Nassau itself is literally the size of certain neighborhoods in the U.S., right? 21 miles by 7 miles. That is nothing. And if you're a marathon runner, you have different measurements, right? So what are we going to do? When are we going to face ourselves? And facing ourselves does not mean blaming the government and blaming the police and blaming. No, it is us. You as an individual. Okay, you don't want me to touch it. That's fine. That's no problem. Let's continue. Family structures. So you got economic factors / poverty. You have your social environment. And you have your family structures. So what is the economic factors of poverty? Let's break that down just a little bit, right? So a lack of financial resources. Poverty manifests itself in a lack of educational opportunities. And this is reading directly from there. Lack of meaningful employment options, poor housing, lack of hope, and prejudice against persons living in poverty. So we just recently saw a demonstration of a lack of hope. And I'd like to give my condolences to that young lady's family and those that are left behind. A very, very public, tragic way to go. Very public, very tragic. Lack of hope. Meaningful employment options. And this is why this show is important. Because at the end of the day, not everyone is going to thrive in this environment. And you know why? Because there's so much to overcome. You have poor infrastructure. And this is not bashing the Bahamas in any way. This is a fact. Okay? If you live here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because we're having an honest and reality conversation today. We're not doing the Delulu thing. We're not doing it, right? Because we are now at the point we have to look at these things. And so your opportunities here. You have a lot of persons who are supposed to be retired. They're not. They're not going anywhere. They're there, okay? You have the friends, family, and lovers thing. Doesn't bother me too much. Why? Most countries have it. What do you need to do to get around that, right? It is what it is. Then you have poor housing. When are we going to address? Because we take a very long time that we have a housing crisis in the Bahamas. We have a housing crisis in New Providence. We have a housing crisis in Abaco. We have a housing crisis in Eleuthera. What are we going to do? Are we going to acknowledge it? Some people say, well, decentralize Nassau. How? Have you ever lived on a family island for any period of time? Does the infrastructure work? Are the island people welcoming the family island people? Are they? Because a lot of times I hear their cries and complaints, but the reason I don't give any light to it is because I personally remember when I was in the car industry and I was working along with the now deceased Mr. Mike Kemp. May God rest his soul. And I remember him being adjacent to a project, and I remember what the outcome was right in Abaco. I'm going to talk it today. And guess what? You cannot prevent development and then cry about shoddy infrastructure. You get what you get, and it is your fault. And I'm tired of us pretending to be the opposite. So we have to pick a lane, Bahamas, in everything that we do. Every action has a reaction. Every decision has a result. So we cannot have this cognitive dissonance where we pretend that there is no consequence for anything that we decide to do or choose to do. How? I mean, we can continue like that, but what are we going to get? More of what we have now. This is how we got here in the first place. Complete lack of self-awareness as a nation. Complete lack of self-esteem as a nation. We betrayed ourselves for nothing. What did we gain? What is all the forward investment for? What did we gain? Nothing. I want to talk about a little more about the social environment. Let's move on. So according to this white paper, it says our social structure mirrors to citizens and communities what we value and how we set priorities. Social root causes of crime are inequality, lack of support to families and neighborhoods, real or perceived inaccessibility to services, lack of leadership in communities, low value placed on children and individual well-being. The overexposure to television and social media as a means of recreation. If that does not sound like us, I do not know what it is. So this problem is not punitive. Because you argue and you rail at the police constantly, right? And I feel sorry for them because they get blamed on every turn. But what about when they actually do their job? Then what? What is the end result? Who does it go to? Higher than them. What is the court doing? What is the decision making? Who's making the decisions? Again, they come from us. So if they see certain things as not being horrific, no big deal. Not punitive. Then you have people running around in the streets. Adjourned after adjourned case. Nothing happens, right? And so can you blame the police? They're arresting them. They're doing their due diligence. They're trying to do whatever they can. So these problems are not punitive in nature. Punitive is too late. It's too late. The crime has already happened. Someone already got hurt. Something got damaged. Something got stolen. Someone got killed. It is too late. Punitive is not going to be the way that we fix this country. And I want us to get off of that. Yes, you do need penalties, but that is not the only answer. The police cannot go in people's homes and raise their children, feed the children quality food, and make sure their education is taken care of. They cannot do it. They cannot. It's impossible. So it's not fair to do that. Low value placed on children and individual well-being. I'm not going to expound on that tonight because that's only going to make me very upset. Right? Family structure. Let's talk about it. Families are uniquely placed in contributing to raising healthy, responsible members of society. But the task of putting children first goes well beyond the family to include communities and society. Dysfunctional family conditions contribute to future delinquency. It's right there in black and white. These are the root causes of crime. The root causes of crime. Let me go over it again. The three main categories: economic factors / poverty, social environment, family structures. And so never again, because I got some emails last week and I was very disappointed in a couple of those, right? One was an email, the rest were sent to me on Facebook. You cannot get angry at Bahamians for leaving this country because some of them are trying to solve, again, what's on that main category. They're trying to solve their economic factor. They're making sure that their social environment is more conducive to positivity and growth, right? And hope. And they want to make sure that they can maintain a family structure. All of these things are not supported here in this country. I will tell you on a social basis, it's not. It is not. It may be in certain silos, but for the vast majority, it is not. Dysfunction is seen as normal here, and this is, it is what it is. Let me continue. The conditions about the family structure include parental inadequacy, parental conflict, parental criminality, lack of communication, both in quality and quantity, lack of respect and responsibility, abuse and neglect of children, family violence. Crime prevention must focus on improvements in these three areas. If you have people in your family that you know pose harm to other family members and you brush it off, or you say, well, you know, that's not a big deal, or, you know, well, they grew up like this, no one cares. We have to look at things from a logical standpoint, right? And so if we're going to fix this country, it starts in everybody's home. And so what is the end result? Are we pleased with this? We can't be pleased with this. So it goes on and it talks about the offender of tomorrow being the vulnerable child of today. It talks about primary prevention, secondary, tertiary preventions, all the way that it goes up, talking about, you know, emotional behavioral problems, optimal social, emotional, and cognitive development of children. And it just goes on and on. A lot of this talks about children. It also talks about high crime areas, persistent and occasional delinquents. It's a very good read. If you want the white paper, please go ahead and message me. I will send it to you. It is a PDF and it is a very easy read. It is eight pages, but it is extremely well written, and, you know, it does not have. It also has some related websites, the John Howard Society, you know, the Council on Social Development, and the Caledon Institute, right? So they have citations there that you could go ahead and read as well. So what are we going to do, Bahamas? We're going to look at ourselves? Are we going to? And decide how we're going to move forward? Let me tell you some of the messages I got before we go to a break. I got a couple messages that were very displeased because they felt that the persons that I have on the show were elitist. These are the words used. They didn't see them as the norm or the average Bahamian. You should be ashamed of yourself. I hear you, but the fact that you consider that to be a problem is a problem. Because again, who do we want to be? Who are we going to be? Who are we deciding to be? So we don't want that as a representation of what our nation looks like then. What do you want? Bahamian versions of sexy, right? Like, what is it? What are we doing? I'm sorry, what are we doing? What are we going to decide to be? Never text me that nonsense again. Don't send me that message, okay? Because I don't care. What we're going to do as a nation to move this country forward is we're going to look upward, onward, together. Because that's the only way this is going to fix. And if you have an issue with this and you are a victim of crime, do not come on Facebook and complain. Because you may not see the correlation or the causation there, but it is directly related. You cannot go and complain about what is going to inspire and help people to broaden their horizons and increase what Bahamians are considered to be and our respect globally. You can't be against that and then also complain about crime. What are you doing? Right? We're not doing that. We're not. So don't send me those. I don't care about those opinions. Because at the end of the day, we as a nation, we have to look at ourselves individually. And the best and brightest amongst us that want to contribute and talk, we are going to embrace them. Because that is the reason they're leaving now. That is why the brain drain is. And so you don't see how that is being a stereotype and just completely the reason why they're gone. We got to do better than that. And we can do better than that. Right? But it requires us to realize that we need growth and for us to accept the fact that if we're going to improve this country, we have to accept that it starts with us. So I want to just take a quick commercial break. On the other side, because a couple of you are messaging me, if you decide that, hey, I can't deal with it no more, I need to get out of Nassau, I'm going to talk about some digital nomad destinations that are very easy to access, very inexpensive. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about if you decide to stay, what are some strategies that you could possibly employ? And also, I'm going to read I'm going to read two of the messages that I got. And you tell me whether or not you think that we are focused on the right things right now of what we want this nation to be. You tell me. I'll let you be the judge. You're listening to Beyond the Rock. Please stick and stay. I'm your host, Dazzy. On the other side, we'll get to all the topics that I promised.
Wednesday, March 8th, 2024 is International Women's Day. Guardian Media wants all Bahamians to truly inspire inclusion. It's not just something we should say or something we should write about. It's something we need to think about, know, and embrace. It's what we should believe in unconditionally. This International Women's Day, Guardian Media wants you and your company to inspire inclusion. Celebrate the women in your organization this International Women's Day by placing them in an ad in our International Women's Day supplement. For more information, call 302-2300 or contact your account executive. The aim of the International Women's Day 2024 campaign is to collectively forge a more inclusive world for women. International Women's Day, Wednesday, March 8th, 2024. Inspire inclusion.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
In Notes from Underground, Dostoevsky famously pointed out that if we did bring about the socialist utopia, and he described that as the endless opportunity to sit in pools of bubbling water, busy ourselves with the continuation of the species and eat nothing but cake, that human beings would break it all into a chaotic mess at the first opportunity just so that something exciting could happen. The problem with a satiation vision of heaven, so that would be a vision where everyone has everything they need all the time, is that when you do that with an infant or when you enter that state after Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas dinner, all you do is go to sleep. There's no reason to be conscious. Consciousness demands something like an adventure. And the classic vision of heaven does seem lacking in that it isn't obvious what you would do there. That's something we could delve into.
And we're back. You're listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. And today, this is a special edition. I took a little break. I said, you know what? I will save that interview until next week because we need to talk. We need to do a check in Bahamas. And the reason why we need to do it is evident in the news. And if we're ever going to fix this, we need to talk about these things. We need to look at ourselves and who we are. Because if we don't do that, what is the point of talking all day and all night and being scared to come out of your own house? This is who we are, and no one is immune from accountability, including me, right? So I have this thing where, and a lot of my friends will know this, no matter what happens to me, I look at it and I say, okay, this is my fault, right? And I don't do that in a defeatist way. I do that in a way to say, how did I personally contribute into the failure of what is happening now? What should I have done differently? How did this happen? Right? And the reason why I do that is because it absolves me of blame. And when I say that, meaning that it absolves me of blaming other people and being obsessed with what they did or did not do. Because at the end of the day, it didn't matter, right? What matters is the action that I took and the action that I take. And that's all I can control. I cannot control anyone else at all. And to even try is a fool's mission when there's so much things to do on this earth, right? We have so many assignments that we need to complete. Do you have time to worry about other people? So we can't, it is tempting to do, but we have to suspend blame. We have to do it. Because is that the point now? Who's looking at us? Right? Who's looking at us? I want to read. Let me read two of the messages that I actually got. And I hate to do this because I got so many other messages that were very positive and love the show. But you know how our brains work. We always focus on the ones that are critical. So let me read two of them. So the first one, this came screaming in my inbox, right? And it says, Dazzy, I like your show so far, but it is unrelatable. And they put unrelatable in all caps. To the average Bahamian person, please bring on regular people. What does that mean? Okay. Then I got another one, right? And this one says, I don't like the elitist tone your show is heading in, Dazzy. Please do better than this. Again, what do we want, Bahamas? Who are we? What do we see ourselves as? What do we see ourselves as? Who do we see ourselves as Bahamians? What are our characteristics? Are we healthy, educated, fit, happy people? Or what are we? Are we all the negative stereotypes? Because see, you know, I don't, at this point, we have to choose who we will serve and where, what pathway we're going to go into. You know, we can no longer pretend that this is a problem outside of us. Because it's that attitude that has bred what we have now. Oh, hang them. Who are you talking about? They us. And it takes a certain amount of self-hatred to kill someone that has your likeness. That's self-hatred. That is you. They look like you. I remember when Hurricane Dorian happened and there was some looting going on, right? And I remember seeing on Facebook a couple of Bahamians, Black Bahamians, saying, you know, they were chiming in on the punishments that they thought that our brothers and sisters from another nation should get. And some of our Bahamians of a different hue, right, were chiming in on what they were going to do. So I merely said, and how do you think they're going to tell the difference? Because all us look alike, right? Listen, people got so upset at me. They were very upset. But that is my point. You may see these slight differences. Other people don't. So when you Google Bahamas, everyone is showing up. And certain islands just don't have problems with certain things. Long Island, they do their own work. They do not have problems. They do not. And nothing is a problem, you know. But we just cannot look at things and say, hey, this is nothing to do with us. This is something to do with so-and-so. There's no anyone else. It's only us. It's only us in the room. There's no one else. So let me read this text. And so it said, what do they want? The losers who claimed asylum and living on welfare or working retail in the U.S. and Canada? That's a text, right? What do they want? I mean, hey, all stories are valid, right? But at the end of the day, what do we want to hear? Because you can't tell me that you find interviews unrelatable unless there's some seed of something there within you that does not like to hear that. And let's get to the root of it. What is it? Are you jealous? Don't be jealous. You can do it. You can do it. You can go. You can do the same thing. What is it? Why do you not think that you could aspire to do that or be that? What is the root cause of that? How did we get there? We got to do better collectively. We got to do better. So let's say now, and if you want to go ahead and text 422-4796, 422-4796, 422-4796, go ahead and text. I see your text coming in. I will go ahead and read those in a second. So let's just say you want to get out of here, right? So you say, okay, Dazzy, I can't deal with it no more. I'm gone, right? I need a break. I need to go somewhere for a couple years. I got you. No problem, right? No problem. No problem. Go ahead and do that. See the world. A lot of you come back home anyway, and that's fine. Sometimes you just need to go somewhere else and do something else for a while. So digital nomad visas, if you don't know about them and you have skills and you don't have, you know, a large family to take behind you, maybe it's just you You're a young adult or middle-aged adult, but you don't have a lot of responsibility here. You don't have very deep ties. You know, you're not saddled with a mortgage and everything else, right? And you decide, okay, I want to live somewhere else for a while. How about it? So if you go to nomadgirl.co.co, it has a list of 58 countries with digital nomad visas. Now, what you can do is take this list and overlap a list that has like low crime rates, and then overlap the list, depending on how you look, countries that are tolerant to certain skin colors, right? And whatever you get out of those three separate lists, if you're like me, you're going to put it in an Excel and extrapolate the data. And then whatever you get, go ahead and look at those, right? So digital nomad visas are basically temporary residence permits that allows you as a visitor the right to stay in a country and work remotely. And usually it's by computer or laptop for a foreign-based employer or business. So what these visas are is you're not going to the country and going to get a job in their economy. No, you're going to have the employment here or remotely, and you're just going to be basically living there. And so most of them have like a 12-month duration. Some can be extended for like, you know, a year, 2 years, 5 years. They're not for everyone. You know, a lot of countries now are, you know, the citizens are upset because the digital nomads come in and they raise the cost of rent and food and everything else. Please don't go over there and start saying things are cheap, right? Because that's what causes the problems. I follow a couple blogs and they are in Mexico and they're just wrecking havoc, and Portugal as well, on the local economy because, you know, something is 10 pesos and they're like, I'll just give you $5. Stop it. You're destroying the economy for the people. When in Rome, do as the Romans. Go there, fit into the landscape. Don't try to change it. Don't expect. You're in a different country. Behave yourself. So the digital nomad visas basically were created by a lot of countries who, after COVID-19, they suffered like a severe drop in tourism revenue, right? And so a lot of them actively started targeting digital nomads. And it was like, hey, it's better to have a tourist stay in for a year than, you know, 100 tourists staying for 2 weeks, and especially with all the travel regulations. Also, the pandemic created like a lot of homeschooling, online schooling, you know, wealthier digital nomads are what they call tech pats, you know, remote technology workers, things like that. And the brain drains of a lot of these countries just made it easy for a lot of their citizens as well to actually come back home. So income tax, depending on the country that you're from, it made it easier for a lot of persons because you could avoid some of that, et cetera, et cetera. So you have tons of countries that are on the list. I'm just going to highlight a couple of them because if you go, like I said, it's 58, so I'm not going to go into all of them. So you've got Iceland is on there. You've got Germany, which is pretty popular. You've got Norway. Portugal is pretty popular as well. You have Spain, which is pretty popular. I'm going to skip over Italy, and we all know why. And let's not pretend, and don't text me your nonsense, but we know why we're skipping over Italy. I do not recommend it, by the way. Please Google search it and see the experiences that other people are having, and I don't want to hear your nonsense. If you had a different experience on your two-week vacation, good for you. But the long-term safety, I do not recommend, and it is what it is, all right? Greece is pretty popular as well. If you go down a little bit, you also have countries like, let me just skip over that one, other Caribbean countries as well. Barbados is on that. Antigua is there. You know, you got Bermuda, because you may not want to go far from home, right? You may want to stay in the Caribbean. So that is an option. And let me just read, the Bahamas is on here too, but we're not talking about that. Curacao is there. So let me just read some of the outlines of what this site has. So it has the cost of the program. So this particular one, I'm reading the one for Curacao, $294 per person. This is for the visa. A six-month stay with another six-month extension. The income to prove, they don't have anything there for that. And then they also talk about the cost of living index, right? The Bahamas is very high, by the way. So whenever people say, well, oh, I can't afford to live anywhere else, you live in the Bahamas. New York is cheaper. Please stop it. You also have digital nomad visas for North and Central America. So you've got Costa Rica on that list. Mexico is there. Let me just read Mexico. The cost of the visa, $190 to $390 from 1 year to 4 years. The income that you need to prove is $1,620 a month or a bank balance of $27,000. The living index is a 42, which is a 75 out of 140. And then it talks about the internet speeds. There's also Panama there, which is very popular for Bahamians. The cost of that visa is $300. So these are not cost prohibitive, right? You're talking $300. You need to prove that you make $2,000 a month. I'm sure you can do that. You got a laptop. You can work remotely. It's not hard to do. You have a couple other countries that I don't recommend, like the Brazil and the El Salvador. No, no, no. Let's skip over those. A lot of Bahamians are in Colombia right now. Be careful. That's all I would say. And you also have the UAE, which is extremely popular. The cost of that visa, $287. The length is 1 year. The income to prove is a little higher because obviously the cost of living there is still lower than the Bahamas, but it's higher than a lot of places, right? And so you need 5,000 euros per month plus proof of employment, a proof or proof of company ownership. You've also got Abu Dhabi. I think Qatar is on there as well. If you want to do Asia, you've got Taiwan, Sri Lanka, you know, Thailand, Malaysia. There's a lot of those. Malaysia, I don't recommend if you look like me, right? Because you could just read people's experiences before you go. And it's not to put you off or to be afraid, but you don't want to trade in one set of problems for another problem. And microaggressions are fine, but you got to be careful of the countries where, you know, it's actually not safe. And then you have a lot of African countries as well. On there, you've got Namibia. I don't know if Ghana is on board as yet. I'd have to check. And then you have, like, you know, Indonesia, et cetera, et cetera. South Africa, which the South Africans say don't come. I don't know. I don't know why. But go ahead and check out the list, nomadgirl.co. And if you need a little bit time away to make absence, to make the heart grow fonder, you want to do some, you know, networking, things like that, go ahead and check it out and pick a place and go. Now, if you're going to stay here, what is the plan, right? Let's talk about it. So one of the things that we need to look at if we're going to be here is, again, housing. That's a big deal, taking a big part of income. And income, right? So these are the things that we have to look at if you're going to stay here. Quality of life, I don't know what to say about that, right? You may feel safe going outside, you may not, depending on who you are. Family islands, let's look at those. And family islands, please don't text me with your hate because they hate when we recommend Nasuvians go there, right? But they're bringing dollars to the economy. And usually the ones coming there are not the ones who are doing the crime because, you know, no offense, but there's not enough people there to do crime successfully on. So they're not coming there. They're going to stay here. So don't worry about it. The ones that are coming are the ones who want to invest and they're bringing money. They're bringing businesses, etc. So let's look at the other family islands as a good option. Eleuthera, I love Eleuthera. Eleuthera is one of my favorite islands, right? And I love it because, you know, you've got the mainland and then you've got Spanish Wells and then you've got Brylan over there. Love Eleuthera. Beautiful place. The cell phone service don't work the entire way when you're driving up and down. I will say that. The internet is not always the best, but you've got Starlink now, so you don't have to worry about it. And so Eleuthera is a good spot. Another good spot, Exuma, right? Beautiful. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous place. That is another spot that a lot of people are deciding to go to. Also, in the family islands, the cost of living sometimes is better because housing is less, depending on where you go. And you can actually own a piece of the rock. Some things that, you know, you may be priced out of when you look at what Nassau is bringing you. Where else is there? Grand Bahama, always there, right? They have housing galore. And, you know, if you look at a lot of what the housing is, beautiful places. Fraction of the price of what it costs to be in Nassau, right? So you've got a lot of the major islands you've got there that you can have a look at and say, hey, does this work for me? Abaco, right? You got Marsh Harbor. You got all sorts of areas that you can go to. If you want to go on, you know, Green Turtle Key, I don't know if they have space for you, but it's the cutest place, right? So you just need to decide what it is that you need to do for you and go. Because you could be a digital nomad within the confines of your own country. You know, the sun does not rise and set just on Nassau alone. You do have options. So you need to look at what those options are and sometimes go ahead and exercise them. So let me go ahead and read your text. So this text says, good day, be an elitist. That's the best you can be. And that's the type of Bahamian I want to be too. I am with you. Ask ourselves the hard questions and find solutions to our problems. I agree 100%. And it does not have to be a bad thing. We cannot let external brainwashing make us think that we have to be less educated, less wealthy, less anything than anyone else around the world. For what? We do not have to embrace the toxic Black American culture that comes out to us. We do not. And I'm not saying that everything in the culture is bad. Obviously, it's Black History Month and there's a lot of positivity there. But we don't need to pick the worst of that society and say, hey, this is what we need to do and be. Why? What is it gaining them other than a pipeline straight to incarceration? And I understand systematic racism, all of that, blah, blah, blah. I hear you, you know. But at the end of the day, we as a group of people, if you do not look at yourself and we do not look at ourselves and say, hey, who are we as people and what do we want for ourselves? And we do not respect ourselves and show ourselves in a way that show that we actually love our family members and we want the best and we embrace dysfunction and nonsense and every vice known to man, what do you think other people are going to think of you? That is not rocket science. We are literally just mirroring it out. I'm sorry. Nobody's coming to these conclusions. And yes, slavery did this, this, this. Understood. But guess what? You have betterhelp.com. You can get therapy, right? You can research. Nobody needs to be an NPC in this day and age. And an NPC is just a non-player character where you just basically follow the script of whatever your environment has given you. There is no excuse for that. There's too much information online that you do not have to be like that. What about your social environment? Maybe you need to get new friends. I'm sorry. Some of us are sleeping with the enemy. It is what it is. You may be with someone who does not want the best for you. And I'm not saying that, oh, you need to leave this person and get a divorce. You need to be aware, though, of how the people that are in your circle, how they see you, what they want for you. What are they doing for themselves? Do they accuse you of bragging? Maybe you need better friends. And not that you're going to cut the old ones off completely, but you have to get into an environment where it's conducive. It's survival of the fittest out there. We do not have time in the Bahamas any longer to meander and just hope that things are going to change. We have to be extremely intentional in 2024 about what we're going to do with our lives and how we're going to live every single day. We have to take care of our health. Our health system is in shambles. That's not a place you want to be sick. You should get up and walk every day. It may not be safe to walk. We'll go somewhere where it's safer. Goodman's Bay is safer. There's more people out there. Now, on the weekends is another story. I do not recommend. But during the week, people are there walking, right? Droves of people. And I'm so proud to see them. I'm happy to see them. Okay, you don't want to go outside. Well, maybe you're going to have to put $5 aside, you know, every other day and get a walking pad and put it in your house. We have to take care of our health. We have to take care of our education. Oh, I don't have money to go to college. Well, go online. You have free information. You have free courses on Harvard Business School, right? Free. Coursera, $50 a month, something like that. Free. You do not have to be stuck. Ignore these people. They do not pay your bills. The social validation you get and the laughs that you get from you demonstrating, succumbing and letting your vices overcome you, it is not worth it. Because at the end of the day, who is suffering? Your family? You. So we have to, as a nation, look at ourselves, take accountability. We have to look at our mindsets. We have to look at our income. We have to look at our social circle. And we have to try. We have to. Because no longer, there's no safety net here. So living here, the meandering, it boggles my mind. What are we focused on? You focus on fighting and arguing with people? Are you focused on securing yourself and your family for the future? What are you focused on every single day? Whatever you focus on, you're going to get. And it's nobody's fault but your own. What does the quote say? Your worst sin is that you betrayed and destroyed yourself for nothing. I don't want that for us. And so thank you for sitting with me on this special edition of Beyond the Rock, because I had to get this out. We have to talk about this. This week was horrific. We needed to do it. Next week, we are going to be back to amazing interviews. And I have an interview coming all the way from the UK. And she's going to talk about what she's been doing there and how did she get there and how long has she been there. I don't know if she's going to turn it into a dating show. like the past episodes. But hey, we're going to ask a couple questions. So you're listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. Thank you for sitting through my rant today. I tried to keep it as decent as possible. Don't be mad at me. I just want the best for us, and I want us to have a country that we're proud of and that we feel safe in. So thank you so much for listening. This is Beyond the Rock. Again, your host, Dazzy. I will talk to you and see you again next week.